webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for September the 22th, 2016, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the freshly coiffed and floralized Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum, and we're with Alexis de Tocqueville. We say the main business of religions is to purify, control, and restrain that excessive and exclusive taste for well-being which men acquire in times of equality.
Goodness gracious. A kind of a run-on there, wasn't it?
You like that? I'm just pausing right now to take breath. I'm not to listen to you. But right now from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, bringing you more gospel, CPR is the Heretic's Hope, the Preacher's Paradox, and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Mr. Michael, how are you, sir? Oh, hang on, Mr. Michael.
I'm hanging.
Alexa, what's the weather like in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida?
Right now in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, it's 79 degrees with partly sunny skies. Today's forecast has some sun and thunderstorms, with a high of 89 degrees and a low of 75 degrees.
Okay, that saves you answering how you are. Now on to business.
I am wonderful, Bears Bartlett, and it's been a good week here in South Florida so far. How is your day going?
It's going swimmingly. As they say in the classics, swimmingly.
In the classics? What classics?
I believe that they mentioned that in The Rise and Fall of Rome, also in King Lear by Shakespeare, and also in Mad Magazine in 19, I think it was the third issue of 1969. Pretty sure it was.
I'm sure it was exactly that kind. What page?
It was on the back page. You know the one you used to fold over on itself and it gave you a totally different message? You remember that page?
Oh, so yeah, no, it's been good here. We are experiencing the gentle decline of temperatures, which means we've dropped 1, 2, or 3 degrees from our daytime highs. Much more gentle descent than the rest of the nation, because whereas others will bottom out, we won't do that here. We're in South Florida, so, and that I'm very happy about. So, Barris, do we have anything going on that is new, special?
We do. We have my new book. We've gotten my new website, donbartlett.com, which is barely birthed. So don't expect anything there. But, yeah, we've got meetings pretty much arranged or partly arranged in Gainesville, Georgia. Now, this is the stamping ground of Al, Mel, and Mel. Also, Katie Griffin, another one of our long-time supporters. And we look like we're going to be presenting something that I think all gospel revolutionaries will benefit from. But we're setting these up for late October, which is barely a month away, really. And there'll be more about this in upcoming PowerCasts. So stay tuned. Gainesville, Georgia, late October, and we will keep you informed with who's going to be there and what they're going to be teaching on.
Awesome.
Now, Michael, last week, of course, was the first in our standout classics, an answer to a critical letter from Dr. Jim.
Yes, it was, and I think that was a good thing. We did get quite a bit of response from that show. And
let's read this letter. This is a good letter, and it's a juicy one, so I'm kind of.
It's a juicy one.
She writes, I absolutely have to respond to just reading Jim's letter. I met Mike through Jim, so I'll always be thankful for that, but nothing else. I was so disappointed to see how far back under law he has become.
That's what caused me to think, Barris, when I read this, was that she recognized what I had already said to our viewers, was that this is not what Jim's position was before. Mm. So this really grabbed me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
My first thought is he does not want to lose his income from tithing. He does not want to lose his church or Bible school either. The only item that I would want discussed for sure is the good that some churches do in the community. There is an element of truth that not belonging to any church or having any church at all in any community can be a loss to some people. I've always wished that we could belong to a church that preaches grace, but none exist that I know of. I am so disappointed that he is condemning Mike and making it look like it justifies his sexual orientation acceptance. Please make sure that you address all of his points, including his false interpretation of so many of the scriptures that he uses, as well as his belief that anyone can go to hell if he does not obey or follow what he says they are supposed to. He also never mentions redemption, but only salvation. I know the difference, but his readers likely do not. Now, that's an interesting point, Mike, because Christianity has always conflated redemption and salvation. If you ask about redemption, is that salvation? 99 out of 100 Christians will say, of course it is.
Yeah.
And what she's saying here is that he doesn't seem to appreciate any difference between them. He says that Jesus is not grace. But somewhere it says that Jesus was filled with grace and truth. So please expand on that as well. Certainly grace is not simply an ability to do better only. Now she's referring to the fact that Jim Richards in his letter a number of times states that grace is the ability that God gives you to live a righteous life.
Exactly.
She says, this is a blatant attack that is not based on facts or scripture. I am very anxious to see how you will respond to this, and I am sure it will take many weeks to do so. My dear friend, don't be anxious. Sit back, relax on your sofa, and enjoy all that we are about to serve up. But don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. There, did I sound like God there?
Exactly.
Now, who else have we got here? Judy Tanini. I was once a member of Jim's church, Impact Ministries. I walked away I walked away with my three sons when I realized he had lied to the congregation about why Mike Williams, who was teaching at the time, left before his teaching series was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim. You're being called out. Jim is a control freak, to say the least, and really does not understand grace. It is sad that somebody who has had the power to influence so many has hurt so many and defamed the true power of the cross. Thank God for Mike. Judy, thank God for you, love.
Judy's making reference to the last time I was there. And that was, it was just bizarre. And I was an invited speaker, and I was supposed to speak two or three times. After I spoke the first time, I was informed that I wouldn't be speaking again. And I the teaching that I gave
by Jim, the guy in this letter who says he deeply loves you.
He didn't. He let somebody else inform me.
Don't tell me he was a gutless wonder.
I never once spoke to Jim. After I spoke in that session, Jim went and hid at the house. Remember, I told you the house is on the property.
Yeah.
But Jim went to hide at the house. And I was invited actually to the house after the meeting. And I stopped by also to get the recording from the meeting that I had just done, and they, bless their hearts, they, you know, these are really sweet people there, and they very hesitantly told me that the recorder had malfunctioned and that nothing I said was recorded. And I found out directly from other staff members that was a directive from Jim. So, you know, if all of this is right, like Judy pointed out, why is lying a part of standing for right?
Well, because everyone knows when you tell the truth, you have to lie, because you've got to break people's understandings of...
It's important for the people that we lie.
Yes.
And that really does get that mentality going. And, you know, I knew I was in the... I knew I was being shunned. When I was officially shunned, I wasn't told that. I was uninvited. My meetings were canceled. My recordings were spirited away from the meetings that I did. The people who wanted the recordings, which there was a large demand, a lot of people wanted, they ran right out, because at Jim's place, you could go right straight out and get the recording of that meeting right then. And when they went out, they were informed there were no tapes from that meeting. And I had been invited to the house, and I thought, you know, well, it's not my prerogative to just not show up. I knew that Jim had disappeared. The other guest speaker, who was a pastor from Canada, disappeared together. And I got a message that, you know, we weren't going to eat at Jim's after all. And I thought, well, okay. And then I thought, well, I at least need to go over and say something. This was the first time that I had been that I was staying at the motel, which I understood that one of the pastors was staying there, so that wasn't a big deal. At least I thought that was the reason. I found out later it wasn't. But I went over, and of course Brenda was always the charm of everything. You know,
Brenda was Mrs. Jim.
Brenda was Jim's wife, and she and her daughters lived there, and that's where Jim met her, and then he married her and her two daughters as his own children. And
he married her and the two daughters. Where was he? Utah? Salt Lake City?
No. When I say somebody marries somebody and they got family, you're marrying the whole family.
Oh, sorry. But, see, when you're dealing with a stupid person, you've really got to talk slowly about these things.
Oh, when we're dealing with religion, we got to clarify these things, because you never know, really. So I went over. Brenda came to the door. I knocked on the back door to the house, which was the side that was near the church. And there was a bit of a delay, but then I just thought, you know, I'm going to knock until somebody comes to the door, because I knew where everybody was.
Because that's the way that Mike Williams rolls.
Exactly. I'd been invited over, and I was going to find out if I was uninvited, what was going on. And so Brenda met me there, and I said, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was getting ready to excuse myself and, you know, go about my way. And Brenda said, no, Mike, no, you know your family. Come on in. Come on in.
Oh. Well, she,
yeah. So I came in.
Where did Jim hide then? Was it the bedroom?
Well, he hid in the kitchen.
That's a bad place to hide. And, I can tell you now.
And his pastor friend was hiding upstairs.
Jeez.
And when I went in, neither of them came out, neither one of them. And I stood there for a minute, the best I remember, and talked to Brenda. And even if I saw Jim, there was complete silence on his part. He didn't say, Mike, you know, what you taught tonight was error. Mike, I'm not going to let these tapes out because I don't agree with it. Mike, we're going to cancel the rest of your speaking time here because I don't think that you're teaching the right thing. None of that happened.
Brenda must have been as embarrassed as hell.
I think she was, because we were friends. You know, this wasn't just ministry. we were close. We were close friends. But I think those of you that remember your days in Christianity, that, boy, friendships could end on a dime based on doctrinal difference.
Well, actually, I was hoping you were going to say, those of you who remember your times in Christianity know that this is how people who love each other act. Because Jim does say in this letter, he deeply loved you.
Well, yeah, and that's what I don't get. How do you stop loving somebody because their doctrine is messed up, you know? Now, I was beginning to see where I did not agree with Jim, but I wasn't going to stop loving him.
Hang on. It's as easy as heck to do that. The Catholics have been doing it for centuries.
Oh, dear Lord, yes.
They'd even kill you if they didn't, you know, like what your doctrine was.
Yep, for sure.
Oh, did I just say Catholics? Sorry, Catholics and Protestants.
Yeah, there's a little difference. But I really didn't plan on getting into this part. But Judy's letter, you know, this is bringing about memories for me, Ferris.
Right. Right.
And, you know, gosh, I'm on here sharing with my family right now. And I'm not saying these things in any way to – I don't desire or need to put Jim down. But, you know, when you hear – things that just aren't true. I have kind of a slant toward saying what I think the truth is if I hear something that's not true. Now you'll have to decide whether or not what I'm saying is true or not. And the only ones that know for sure are the people who were present there. But Judy is another voice. We have our first letter that knew Jim before she knew me, and she knows he's not teaching what he used to teach now as far as grace and peace is concerned. And now we've had a letter from Judy, and Judy knew that Jim stood up to the congregation and lied to them about why I was not going to be speaking at the next session as I was supposed to. Now, I don't know what Jim told them. I think Judy told me at one time, but Judy knew why I wasn't speaking because we were in communication. So, yeah, it's a lot of history coming back up. But now, and folks, this is not – I know this is one story, but you've got to realize this happened to me dozens and dozens and dozens of times in some form. And almost always in the same vein, never talking to me directly or personally. I've shared the ones that did, and I've told you every time I really appreciate the fact that they said it to my face at least. But over 95% of them, I was speaking in a different church at least five times a month, four to five times a month I was speaking in a different church. All around the country and in other parts of the world. And so you've got to understand that every one of those churches disassociated with me over time and did it in various fashions, but most all of it was in this general tone. It never stopped hurting, I can tell you that. I didn't walk away from gyms in a fighting mode thinking, you know, well, bless God I went there and bless God I said what I had to say. I was in utter shock that the person that I had learned faith righteousness from, who now, according to this letter, doesn't even teach what he taught me personally about faith righteousness, that our relationship with God is not based on our performance, it's based on faith. Now, it was our own faith, but faith righteousness was Jim's forte. And this letter that he's written has no mention of faith righteousness. In fact, he goes out of his way throughout the letter to ensure that nobody thinks that they have righteousness through faith whatsoever. So it's kind of and I guess I'm apologizing for this immediate response here, but to help you understand why there is this heartfelt responses, because this is stuff that happened to me. I mean, this is not something that was done to somebody else or in some vague way. These were punishing, heart-rending situations of loss of friendships, not just people that were with me in the gospel. I didn't see any reason why Jim and I could not remain friends, even though we had some points of difference. Now, obviously, later on, I began teaching things that I know that Jim wouldn't even have been able to stay friends with me. But goodness, I've got friends that believe everything under the sun right now on the face of planet Earth. But I couldn't understand why there had to be what Jim firmly states in this letter. I had to be ostracized. I had to, the congregation had to be protected from me. And he's warning leaders who this letter was written to make sure they don't. Now, let me tell you, that don't work, Barris. It doesn't work to warn people not to listen to somebody. How many times I can tell you that we had people show up in meetings, they never knew me until their pastor got up and announced in church on a Sunday morning that they were forbidden to listen to any of Mike Williams' tapes or go to Mike Williams' meetings. Forbidden. And we had some folks show up in Canada and that talked with me afterwards and said, you know, since we didn't know who you were until our pastor got up and told us this past Sunday morning that we were forbidden to come to your meetings or hear you teach, and he didn't tell us why, and said, we just had to come and hear what it was we're not supposed to listen to. Well, these were brand new gospel revolutionary converts from that one meeting. They went back to their church and told their pastor, you owe us to go tell us why and listen to this man. Why is he wrong? So having that experience under my belt, I realized when we got this letter, this is a real opportunity for us to reach some folks. We need to publish Jim's letter. We need to promote it. We need to get it out there because I know the end result of it. And so that's why we're doing this. And it's, like I said, tremendous amount of teaching points.
I just bought jimrichards.org and drjamesrichards.org.
Cool.
I thought we could have some fun with that. What he did to you, somebody who he says he loves deeply, he goes past deceit and deception, it goes into betrayal and a number of other things too. Mike, at this stage, I'd just like to tell our family that if you're a Facebook fan, you need to hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want any of our hundreds of free products, go to www.gospelrevolution.com where we've got over 2,500 hours of free audio available and video for that matter, and fill your boots. You can download any of our years of podcasts, decades of teachings, or you can tune into the Gospel 24/7. Now, here is something Jim Richards won't ever do. He won't leave all of his old teachings up there. Now, we do that. Yeah, we don't give a rip if you see the evolution of our thinking, if you can follow the way that we have made this painstaking journey over many decades. We don't care if you see it. We don't care if you see our mistakes and problems. But you know, when you're teaching a gospel which is a manipulative, controlling kind of a substance, you need to be careful that what you said 10 years ago you can't find anymore in the web. But you can download all of that stuff from the Gospel Revolution, or you can tune into Gospel Revolution Radio 24/7, thanks to GR executive producer Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. Now, if you would like to become an executive producer on the Gospel Revolution media arm, you can do that because an executive producer is that person you see in the credits going up the screen after the movie has run, and you often see it on, say, NPR or public radio, public television, and you often hear it spoken of. But what it is somebody who has made a financial contribution to getting this message out. That's exactly what an executive producer is. So if you want to be an executive producer and you'll get your pharisectomy certificate at the same time, don't forget your pharisectomy certificate, which guarantees that you have had your inner Pharisee surgically removed by the magical powers of Mike Williams and the gospel revolution. Last week we addressed the first part of Jim's letter, and we're going to just patch back a little bit and then delve into some new stuff. When I hear you preach grace, I'm inspired to live a godly life. Jim's talking about people saying, addressing Jim. Of course, the people who don't agree with you after a meeting never ever address you. I discovered that years ago. Only the ones who want to, they want to be your friend or something. They say, when I hear you preach grace, I'm inspired to live a godly life, and then I believe I can. Well, that's your first mistake. If we were capable of leading godly lives, what's the point of Jesus? But they go on to say, when I hear blank, and he's got this blank space underlined. I mean, what a goose. I'll fill it in for you, Jim, because I understand that you've forgotten his name. But when I hear Mike Williams preach grace, I want to throw up my hands and go out and get into sin again. Really? Was that the first thing you were thinking of 24/7? Geez, I can't wait to get into sin again. Really? What a moronic thing to say. What's the difference in your messages? It sounds like you're almost saying the same things, but I'm affected very differently when I hear him preach. Well, at least we know it wasn't Joyce Meyer. He did say him. And that's the problem, he goes on to say, with the grace imposter. It has just enough truth to make it believable to those who are not grounded in the Word of God. May I point out right there that that is the whole thing with religion. It has just enough truth to make it believable to those who do not know God. Oh, who are not grounded in the Word of God. By whose interpretation, Dr. James? Would that be your interpretation or one of the other 39,000 sects and divisions within Christianity who have their own interpretation? When I asked my fellow ministers about his statements, he always blamed it on the people. He claimed he had no control over what they did with his message. Yeah. That sounds like Jesus to me.
How about that? Yeah.
I could never get him to accept that he may not have control over them, but he does have control to preach a responsible message. Listen, in the message Jesus preached, Dr. James, may I point out that he actually hid the truth, and he said to his disciples on one occasion, hey, I don't tell them all the truth because it's not given unto them to know. But I give you the truth. In other words, he preached in parables in order to hide the truth.
Yeah, because the truth of the gospel was hidden. In Jesus' teachings, the truth of the gospel was hidden. I don't know why we can't accept even Jesus' statement about that, but it's now revealed. And Paul talked about this revelation of the truth, that it is now revealed. Now, let me tell you that Peter, James, and John didn't talk about this mystery being revealed. At all. It was only Paul who spoke of this mystery of the of Jesus' teachings, which Jesus is the one who said there that it was hidden. The prophets were the ones who foretold that it would be hidden, and it was hidden by the fact that God blinded their eyes and stopped their ears. That blinding of the eyes and stopping of the ears no longer is there. The only thing we can do is bring the law back in, called the veil of Moses, to blind people's eyes. So you see, what the prophets foretold, Barris, was an internal inability to perceive truth, because it was important that truth be carried out without people. That's why it was a mystery, because listen, if people were supposed to be a part of this thing called redemption, you wouldn't hide their role. you'd say, hey, I'm here. Let's get this job done together. But instead, the prophet said, okay, we're going to blind their eyes. God's going to blind their eyes, stop their ears. Jesus came and said, I'm going to say it in a way they can't understand it. How about that? And then Paul came and said, now, God's not stopping your ears anymore. God's not blinding your eyes. However, you can put the veil of Moses back over your face to where that you externally cannot see the reality of this gospel. And everything that you will see in Jim's letter is an external blinding. We cannot, by our words, blind you. Internally, we can't stop you from hearing. We can't stop you from understanding. I think you've pointed out the difference between stupid and ignorant. And the term ignorant comes from the word ignore, and that's people who deliberately ignore the facts. That is an ignorant person. They ignore facts. And then there's a stupid person, comes from the word stupefy. And to be stupid means to have the inability to understand. So God didn't make the people ignorant. They were not ignoring truth. They were stupefied. They could not understand truth. They were prohibited from knowing. Now, in this prohibition of understanding or hearing or understanding truth, folks, that is so important for us to understand. There was a prohibition by God himself. This may be the last great final act of the law, was a prohibition against understanding, a prohibition against seeing, a prohibition against hearing truth, so that God could carry out this magnificent plan that he had to do it by himself. He and his son, as Hebrews points out, when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. We had no role in this. But Paul tells us that God has now revealed the entire thing to us, and he explains to us what that is. And according to Paul, this revelation is righteousness, and that righteousness is a righteousness that is imputed, not a righteousness that is earned through the law. So the very last thing the law did was blind us to the ability to understand what was coming, so we couldn't mess it up till it got here. Now, we can mess it up now, but we can't mess it up internally. We can only mess it up by placing a veil over people's faces, by preaching the law again.
Jim Richards says he claimed that Mike Williams claimed he had no control over what they did with his message to the audience. I could never get him to accept that he may not have control over them. Did you have that conversation with him?
I don't remember. I remember some conversation to this point. To be completely open about this, I don't remember it in detail. I don't recall anything as detailed as what Jim is recalling here.
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and go with what he's saying. Mike Williams claimed he had no control over what they did, the audience did with his message. I could never get him to accept that he may not have control over them. Oh, yeah. Because, of course, that's what you really want, isn't it? You want to control people. But he may not have control over them. I think Dr. James, you're betraying your heart here. But he does have control to preach a responsible message. By whose interpretation? Would that be your interpretation, Dr. James? And if the majority understands it in a certain way, then the one presenting the message is the common denominator. Let me tell you something about the majority, Dr. James. Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to truth. And you're saying the majority. If the majority gets it, look, the majority have been voting in America for years and years, and look what you've got in your American politics. I mean, it could be the same said about Australia or UK or anywhere, but really, the majority? If the majority understands it in a certain way, then the one presenting the message, it's a common denominator. On the grounds of what I've already said regarding Jesus speaking to the crowds and then only disclosing the truth about his parables to his inner sanctum, I don't think the majority are the litmus test here. They are not the litmus test.
And it is a complete fabrication to say that anybody who listens to me and my dangerous message, that they he is implying, in fact, right out and out stating it, that all of them go out to rape, pillage, and plunder after that.
Yes, because the first thing they want to do is sin, sin, sin.
I don't know everybody in the Gospel Revolution, but I know a large number of them, Barris, and so do you.
And they're a bunch of sinners, if you ask me. They don't, I mean, if raping and pillaging and what was it, plundering? If pillaging and plundering and raping were on the menu, they'd be the first ones out there doing.
Well,
oh my God! Oh my God!
The irony of it, these are the most retiring people with wonderful personalities. Who now? Here's the power of the gospel. These folks do know they can go out and they can commit any act they want and it will not affect their relationship with God.
But we dare you, sir, to find one person identifying themselves as a gospel revolutionary, as a follower of Mike Williams Ministries, who is in jail today for raping, pillaging, and plundering, or whatever you want to say is committing sin. Oh, really?
I know. And so, you know, so which is, where is the power in the message?
Hey, what
the power in the message is in the freedom that is preached. So you would think that if Jim's conclusions were true, those who actually support this ministry must be its greatest offenders.
Oh, yeah.
In America. You know, that's the way it has been presented.
So why don't we give the good doctor a list of our contributors and invite him to have them arrested?
Because he knows automatically they're guilty of something.
Yeah. Well, just a bit of a fishing expedition.
Oh,
you'll get the dirt on so many people.
I tell you, my mind's running over a lot of these folks now. And
I know. I was just thinking of Jeff Robertson. I mean, if ever there was jailbait, Jeff Robertson, Judy Tonini. Now there's one who deserves life in prison.
Goodness.
And I would even give the death sentence. Frankly, I'd hold the injection needle for I know Cookie Davy Dark and really,
and Al Vitale.
Oh, Al Vitale deserves it. I mean,
he's out to break every law under the sun.
Well, no, actually, Al is going to administer the needle. He's the only one we have with a medical certificate, I think, in the whole Gospel Revolution.
No, we got a lot of medical certificates, actually, in the Gospel Revolution.
Oh, we do too, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So, so folks, and again, we've brought some levity into this and, you know, on a very serious situation. But you've got to see that these pejorative statements. Goodness gracious. The one thing I do know is that all of these things that Jim is mentioning, he's experienced in his own family. And this is not a secret. I'm not divulging something, and we're talking about jail time for things. And, you've got people, I don't care what belief system they're in, there's going to be people who go to jail. There's going to be people who live exemplary lives, who, you know, are never in trouble. There's going to be people who avoid the law.
Did you know
they're breaking it?
Did you know that I know a number of atheists who have never had one parking ticket? Did you know that?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So, you know, this evaluation of somebody's teaching based on conduct of their followers.
No, well, it's not even that. It's the presumption that the first thing that they would want to do.
Yes.
Is sin.
Well, that and the fact that if we do apply this, and conduct is the code, Christianity on all 40,000 denominations would have to bow back and say, we're sorry we preached anything, because obviously look at the results. And that's in virtually every single denomination around the world. We want to put people in groups and take something bad that someone has done and make that entire group bad. Whether it's race, we do it with race. We do it with belief systems. We know all tall people have just got no good intent in mind anyway.
So. If you're not Teutonic, if you're not German, then you must be sent to the gas chamber.
And we know short people got no reason to live.
I didn't know you were a fan of that dude. I love his music. Randy Newman.
No, I'm not a fan of his music, but when he short people, I mean, yeah, that was just.
Well, how could you be a fan of his? I mean, you being 6'6". Well, no, come on. You must like it. Anyway, let's get on with this letter. Let's get a wriggle on. Yeah, he makes a claim that when the majority of the people understand a message in a certain way, then the one presenting the message is the common denominator. Wow. That's a great insight there, Dr. James. And I would presume that those of your listeners who have gotten something wrong, after all, have you ever taught anything that was wrong and had to come back from it? Yes? No? I've had this same conversation with dozens of ministers who are following this same pattern today. We must be responsible ministers of the gospel. But Mike Williams, like many preaching an imposter of grace today, you know, you're a doctor. That means you've got doctorates in two areas at least, and then a pretend doctorate. I'm pretty sure that your grammar could be better. But anyway, like many preaching an imposter of grace today, you know what, Mike? We agreed at the beginning of this whole thing that we were not going to try and throw mud. But after that little story you told earlier, it's very difficult for me to...
I know. That's the reason I probably shouldn't have told it. So.
No way, mate. No, the truth. This man is making claims about what happened. It's only reasonable that I think you get to defend them. We must be responsible ministers of the gospel, but Mike Williams, like many preaching an imposter of grace today, tend to lay blame on the hearts of the people. Actually, I would put it to you that that is what Christianity does. If you don't do what I tell you, then you are at fault. If you don't have healing, then this is what Andrew Womack teaches. If you don't have healing, then you must have sin in your life or unbelief in your life or something like that. And let's remember, Andrew Womack is the third one of this, the triune group who introduced grace to the world, allegedly 25 years ago. This, like their entire message, the good doctor says, is a half-truth, and when misapplied, makes it possible for the teacher to never assume responsibility for what is taught. Mm. Give me just one example where that is not the case in Christianity. Just one, doctor. When asked outright about their theological positions, one never seems to get an answer that is consistent with their shock statements. Yep. Dr. James... you're making claims here without it's allegations without proof. And what allegations without proof is, are slurs. Now, if you're happy with slurs, that's okay. That's where you are at. We are not happy with slurs. We would rather face the music, which is why we're doing this, because you gave us no... You wanted to malign Mike Williams, but you wanted to give him no place to respond, and that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing here. Eventually, though, I deeply loved this man and had to hide in the kitchen. No, eventually, though, I deeply loved this man.
That's tense.
And I had to lie about the tape recorder not recording the session. No. Eventually, though, I deeply loved this man and I had to follow the biblical admonition to have nothing to do with him. Of course, because that's how love works. That's how love. That's all about love, isn't it? Love means you cut people off. Love means that if you had any spiritual integrity at all, doctor, you would have also followed the Matthew 18 admonition, which says if you got something against a brother, you talk to him face to face, then you take a brother with you. And then you take him before the church, and then you do whatever shunning you think is right. Question for you, doctor, is this. Is that what you did? No. Not surprising. This, oh boy, I'm just getting mad here. I'm sorry, buddy. And while I've got the big red button,
breathe, Barris, breathe.
While I got the big red button, and our family doesn't actually know this, but you get to hear, Jeff gets to hear and proof every single message that goes out in the PowerCast. We don't send anything out without a couple of us looking at it.
Oh, that's right. Blame it all on Jeff.
He ain't here. What do you want? He ain't here. Listen, I'm getting you off the hook here. Give me a – I can't call your son right now, but in a month's time I can because I'm a year older. Don't forget that, son. pastor.
Brother.
Brother. Oh, God. I always thought that was the funniest thing. I never saw it in the South. You call people back home reverend or pastor or something. No, down here, you don't show any titles because it might be pride. It might instill pride. You call them brother, but you don't call anyone else brother. You invent another bloody title. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going down rabbit holes. My brain is, hey, how many ADDs does it take to switch out a light bulb?
I have no clue.
You want to go to a movie? Oh, boy. Eventually, though I deeply loved this man, I hid in the kitchen. No, I had to follow the biblical admonition to have nothing to do with him. I was never against him personally, and I'm not against him to this day. I just won't talk to him. I'll shun him. I'll have nothing to do with him. But I'm not against him. I love him. But I am very much against his message and the effects it has had on the listeners. Now, for those of you who are listening, you can follow along and you know when I'm talking and when the letter is talking just by following along with the letter on the front page of www.gospelrevolution.com. And Dr. James, I'm happy to tell you that you're more than welcome to read it and proof it and make sure that we reposted it exactly as you wrote it. Please understand, this is where it gets hard for all of us. These people are usually our friends or someone who may have ministered to us in the past. Personally, in my attempts to help him, I stayed connected with him too long. My association with him caused others to be destroyed by his doctrine because they thought my involvement was an endorsement of his message. When I finally pulled away, he poured out his fury on me, trying to make me look like a legalist. There's one thing I know about you, Michael Williams, it's you're a furious son of a gun, I tell you. Moo. Now, Dr. James Richards, you make allegations, and they may or may not be true, but have you ever considered the thought that a little proof might go a long way to giving credence to your claims? Where is the proof?
Well, yeah, where's the recording that I did this? I mean, you know, I surely did it publicly, or he would not have known about it, because by his own admission, we've had no contact since the shunning began. So this is a little tricky here in that he shunned me completely, but then I started doing this. But see, what actually happened was...
You've actually been listening, haven't you, Mike?
What actually happened was that people started calling Jim a legalist. I think he mentions that a little bit later here. But I didn't. I responded when people told me that Jim was communicating to them how... And here's another collision, is that Jim told people as he went out to speak that he had made every attempt to reach out to me to get me to respond. And here he says that he didn't shun me early enough. So what he's talking about, in the only thing that I know of that came back to Jim, was that when people told me that Jim had reached out to me to try to get me to respond and I wouldn't do it, I told him that just isn't true, and I related to him that I had attempted to call Jim where Tanya answered the phone, and Jim refused to come to the phone. And I related that conversation, very honest conversation with his daughter. And then within a year or so, I sent Jim a card. It was a thank you card. And I wrote in the card, "I remember our walks." And I signed it and put, you know, "Love, Mike." And because even with these disagreements that were, because I didn't know what the disagree, I knew he disagreed with me on the tithe. And the only other one was a brief conversation in a car riding with a pastor. And he said that Jim would talk at me. He wouldn't talk with me about it. He didn't want any response. So he would catch me at these points to where that he had time to just, you know, run in and bam, hit me with what he had to say and then dismiss himself from the situation because he wanted no conversation about it. But in that conversation in the car, he hit me with what chastening was, that God does chasten us.
Hebrews, and yes.
That chastening is correct. The word chastening means correction. Now, Jim didn't explain to me, nor did he get me the chance to say, well, then what is scourging? Which means, you know, beat to pieces. Jim never talked to me about grace. He never talked to me about the gospel of peace. He was concerned about the tithe. And but I did. I sent Jim the card. I told him I remember our walks. And
Jim wanted to maintain tithing?
Yeah. Well, Jim broke away from me, one of the members of his church, several members of his church were in contact with me after that. So they were letting me know what he was saying in the sessions. And he said, "If you don't tithe, you might as well have a flag flying above your house that says cursed."
Let me just reference that Malachi, because what he's talking about is Malachi, you know, you're blessed or you're cursed. According to the Malachi chapter 3 reference, it says that all nations will know you're blessed. So you ought to be able to go down any street in America and tell the blessed houses from the cursed houses just simply by looking at them. I mean, am I stupid here? Have I missed something, Mike?
Well, that's what Malachi says. And, you know, thank goodness the thing of it is that with the gospel, we don't have to discern whose house is blessed and whose house is cursed. All houses are blessed. And none are cursed.
Now, what's the proof? What is the proof of that?
A righteousness has been bestowed upon the whole earth. There's been a flood, Barris, and this flood has consumed the whole earth, just like the flood of Noah. And in this one, this flood has, there's not a low place or a high place that has escaped this flood. And it's the flood of righteousness, that, according to the prophet.
I think the High Church of England might have escaped it.
No, they didn't.
I'm pretty sure they did. They call themselves a high church.
No matter how they were, it was not high enough to escape this righteousness.
All right. Okay. Well.
So, yeah. But these were the occasions, friends. And I know that you get confronted with these things on a daily basis. So, you know, let's... that's why we're doing this, is I want to address these things because I know you're going to have to address them. In fact, you probably already have. We're probably the Johnny-come-latelys here in dealing with this because, goodness, you guys have been on the front lines of this for a long time.
Yes, yes. Those of you, family, who have taken to heart the teachings of the gospel have gone and found that you dare not ask questions in the old places. You dare not make these suggestions in the old places. He says, "When I finally pulled away, he poured out his, Mike Williams poured out his fury on me, trying to make me look like a legalist." But this is what these extremists do with anyone who questions or challenges their doctrine. What you're saying, Dr. James, is that anyone who questions you is an extremist. Please, you have a doctorate. You're an educated man. You actually believe what you're saying? This is what these extremists do with anyone who questions or challenges their doctrine. If I challenge your doctrine, I'm now an extremist. Oh, how damn convenient. How very convenient to be able to put me in a box and say, see, he must be wrong because he just asked me a question. He just challenged my doctrine. Listen, your doctrine is of no consequence to me. The doctrine of Jesus, now that means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Richards, you are not going to stand there in your naked honesty and tell me that your doctrine is 100% perfect, or that you're not going to go to heaven one day and God's going to actually tell you, well, you're actually wrong here, Jim. And by the in that other little thing there, Jimmy, you didn't quite have it. Really, your doctrine is perfect. Oh, please.
Barris, you love me too much. I'm not sure you should be doing this.
I'm pretty sure I shouldn't be doing this because we've got more than half the letter to get through yet, and you're going to have a lot of damping down to do with me.
Oh, goodness. The two points of fury that I remember pouring out on Jim was a phone call that he would not receive and a thank you card that he didn't
respond. Unmitigated.
Aggression.
Oh, total. Not micro either. Macro aggression there. Okay. Just hold tight. I'm just going to take an aspirin and... Okay.
Did that help?
I've just had... it. You know, aspirin lets your blood flow faster, so...
Oh, no.
I would not say.
Hey, this is where you need to take that liberty that you learned from Mike Williams and take some drugs and calm down.
Oh dear, I'm so sorry, Mike. I really tried to be a nice guy last week, and
you did a good job.
But this is what these extremists do with anyone who questions or challenges their doctrine. They create what is known as a straw man. Okay. Now we've got to explain straw man. A straw man argument is a concept of logic, which is taught in colleges under logic and philosophy. And a straw man argument is one where I raise an argument and I assign that belief or argument to you, and then it's not real, it's just something I decide to raise. And then I attack that straw man argument in such a way that makes you look stupid for believing something you never believed in the first place or even preached. But I say you did, and because my word is enough, I get to have an upper hand in a debate. Really. And from now on, you're going to see that what Jim Richards does is precisely that, and you have actually already seen it. The good doctor continues, when we no longer conducted meetings together, and as he maligned my name, pastors called me and wanted to know why we no longer worked together. So you maligned his name, you said to all the people you knew, Jim Richards is a doodah, don't listen to
me. I think they would have known from that why we weren't ministering together.
Yes. Oh, thanks for making me laugh, Mike. Pastors called me and wanted to know why we no longer work together. Without attacking him,
He saved that for the letter and for the video.
Guess what, Dr. Jim? You still had your tape recording machine working at the front of the church. Remember that? And do you remember you still had members going there who are now gospel revolutionaries? Do you remember that? And do you remember that we could recall those tapes as easy as pie? You remember that? Without attacking him, I explained our theological differences. Without attacking him. However, because of his popularity and his ability to draw a crowd, what are we calling that crowd? Are you saying the crowd that followed Mike Williams were idiots? Is that what you're saying? They couldn't discern truth from fiction, even though they used to be some of your church members. You had taught them so well, they could not tell whether he had improperly taught or they had improperly listened. Something's wrong there, I think. They continued to have him speak in their churches. They found ways to justify his shock statements, even though they grew more and more extreme. I'd like some facts and evidence about that. I'd like to hear what...
Well, and that's the thing here, Barris, you know, is that Jim isn't addressing anything that I taught. He's addressing what this straw man argument as to what the results of it was. He hit, throughout this letter, there is not one place where he quotes me and why that was wrong. Not one single place. And that's why we're reading this, so that we can let Jim quote what he has to say, and we can point out to you where that's just not gospel. So, I mean, you know, if you want to, I would think if you want to refute what someone is saying, copy and paste, you know, play what they are saying and then say, now this is why this is incorrect. That's what we do. I mean, goodness, we've done it for years in the Gospel Revolution, is that we play the excerpts that we want to address, and we read the things that we want to address of what people are teaching, and then we explain why, in the context of what they're saying, as to why we would not agree with those statements and why we think that the gospel is something much better. So all of these points we're going to show you why that these concepts that Jim is teaching, number one, he's gone back on what he used to teach. So it's really hard to nail this down. And the only thing we can do, the only thing I can do, is address what he's saying now. I can tell you, even as Judy has told you and our other writer told you, that, you know, Jim used to teach different things. And they were much more grace. They were the gospel of peace. I mean, how did I get a doctorate from this school for the gospel of peace when he didn't agree with any of it? And my teaching on the gospel of peace has, by the time I was teaching at Jim's, it has not changed at all since then. It was this declaration of peace.
Remember, family, the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. Don't forget to visit www.theteacherwithin.com and order your copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Menominee. I'm an Amazon Prime user, and this book is the only five-star product I have ever seen on Amazon. Now, I may be missing something, but it's in the top 1% of all book sales on Amazon and is without question the best book I have read touching authentic human spirituality. We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free product. This value-for-value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So, if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, then I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to young Jeff Robertson and tell him how you want to participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember that cash is not the only way you can support the gospel. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you, starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area? I wouldn't. There's no future in that. Just keep listening to the PowerCast. But if you really need to, it's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with the details, when, where, and why, and we will make it happen. So now, it's good night from myself, Barris Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama, and...
And it is good.
Well, that took all night to get that out of you.
You've made me go look on Andrew's website. And it's good evening from Mike Williams right here in Palm Beach County. Goodness, it's a beautiful section of Florida. Come visit sometime. We love you guys.
If you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.